typically for the Lord's table, read a portion where it was instituted. As the Lord's directing me, I'd like us to consider Hebrews chapter 9. You're welcome to take your Bible and follow along or just listen as I read. But when we talk about the Lord's table, it's all about Christ, His person, His work, and His shed blood. And here the writer to the Hebrews refers back to the old covenant, and yet shows how Christ was the fulfillment. And so as we partake today, the bread should we hold in our hand, unleavened, representing the person of Christ and His work. Yet as I always point out, if you look at it, it has marks of battle on it, which represents the wrath of God that Christ endured and fell upon Him, not for any sin of His own, but that of His people. And then the cup, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So what the Old Testament typified, Christ fulfilled. That's what we read here. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, means an earthly one physically to look at. For there was a tabernacle made. The first therein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. People mistakenly call our place of worship a sanctuary. It's not. The sanctuary was that place in the temple, in the tabernacle, where the sacrifice was made, and Christ has fulfilled it all. Christ is that sanctuary. He is our sanctuary. We come to a meeting hall, a meeting place, but He's the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. We just sang about it. In every one of these, Christ is depicted. Christ is reflected by way of type, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, which at once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which alone stood alone in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. Here's the Reformation. It's not talking about back in the 1500s. Verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. And as we've seen, that Passover lamb depicting Christ's bloodshed. He entered in once into the holy place. I love this. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Redemption forever, but it had to be earned by the merits of Christ and His life and death. And once earned and established, it was forever. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the pure purifying of the flesh, all that was ceremonial, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, there's that perfect lamb, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. To purge the conscience means we're not going back to works or to the law. It's finished. For this cause, verse 15, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Although it was under the Old Testament, redemption was not accomplished through any of these things. They were types and pictures. But when Christ came and died, he's the testator. It says here in verse 17, a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, but when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood, look how many times it mentions here, blood, 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 of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, that without shedding of blood is no remission. Now here's the key, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. That's what we're doing when we partake of the Lord's table. This do in remembrance of me. We're remembering this one who came in the flesh, but a perfect flesh, without leaven, and came to sacrifice himself under God's wrath. The word wrath doesn't mean displeasure, but judgment is justice. There was never a time when God ever hated his son or was angry with his son. When we speak of his wrath, that's his judgment that his people deserved, but it fell upon Christ to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. A lot of people read that as, well, you better be ready, be careful, because you're going to die one day and then there's going to be a judgment. Now this is in the context of the reason why Christ had to die. Because it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, but don't stop that it is not a period. So Christ, why did he have to die? Because he took upon himself the judgment due the sinner. So Christ was once offered. That's all it took. All those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't put away sin. They had to continually be offered. But him now, once offered to bear the sins of many. How many? The Lord alone knows. He knows those that are his, but of many. And unto him that look for them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When it says without sin, without being a sin bearer, that's done, it's finished. Not in heaven now, bearing our sins. He bore them all away if he paid our sin debt. And yet he's coming again unto them that look for him. This is what Christ said about this table that we're partaking of. This do in remembrance of me, and you so show forth my death until what? I come. So this is not a tradition or a ceremony, but a remembrance. It's a memorial of him who came, died, and rose again, and set it on high, and who is coming again to receive unto himself every one of those for whom he paid the debt. So as we partake of the Lord's table, let's remember Christ through this unleavened bread, the bread of life, and let's remember his death, what he accomplished for the satisfaction of God the Father. Gracious Father, I thank you for the picture of Christ and his work that you have left us for whom he came and paid the debt. I pray by your Spirit that as we partake, it wouldn't be just a matter of eating this bread or drinking this cup, but to do so in remembrance of him. And in that we rejoice. So we give you the praise and honor and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.